I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Danny and Dusty.
It's not your problem, Doc. You don't have to mix up in this.
That is a hell of a thing for you to say to me.
With Danny Meringue and Dusty, the Fan Man Hera.
Go ahead. Go ahead, skin it. Skin that smoke wagon and see what happens.
Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and 1080.
I'm your Huckleberry.
The Fan.
Here on Danny and Dusty, whether you're listening on 1080 AM, watching along on youtube.com/1080 and the fan, we appreciate you, we love you, thank you for joining us. We got something for you here. Weird Al Yankovic coming to the Northwest,
straight out of Linwood.
It's happening in August of 2025 at McMenamin's Edgefield. You can text WEIRD, W-E-I-R-D, to 503-864-6326 now to enter for your chance to win tickets to Weird Al on August 13th at McMenamin's Edgefield 2025.
I believe it's the 14th?
14th, yes. I'm sorry, the text on my coffee here is off.
Gotcha.
Thank you, good sir. Text now, WEIRD, 503-864-6326. Visit 1080thefan.com for all your complete details. Winners will be selected and contacted as necessary.
Weird Al was a major part of my sixth grade year.
That's crazy because Weird Al was around and like booming when I was in sixth grade.
I know.
Like my sixth grade.
Yeah.
I know. But I'll tell you what, there was nothing sweeter after listening to Chameleonaire riding and being like, I'm awesome. Me and Crazy Bone were riding dirty. And then hearing Weird Al's White and Nerdy, that was just a great time to be
That was
alive.
Probably just, that was just so down your lane.
And right? Canadian Idiot, as opposed to Green Day's American Idiot? Doesn't get better than that. Although, Eat It was great, too.
Eat It still...
Eat It's good.
They do the...
Eat It holds
the reverse food cam, and they play Eat It at the Blazers games.
That's fantastic.
The reverse food cam is... That's one that'll get you.
Has Weird Al had a number one hit?
I don't think so.
He should have.
No.
There are some great songs.
I mean, look.
What's his highest streaming song?
Very fun, but maybe not great songs.
No.
It's literally none of them are originals.
So it doesn't have to be original for it to be great? Oh, whatever. People do remixes all the time that are great.
The remix to Ignition.
Hopping fresh out the kitchen.
There you go. So there you go. Right there. Back on track. 2024 Heisman Trophy odds. In the least surprising fashion, Ashton Gentry leads all players currently in the country at +230 heading into this week. Fresh on his heels, though, is Oregon quarterback Dylan Gabriel at +260. He had a good game against Ohio State. A very good game.
It was his best game of the season so far.
It was not a Heisman Trophy winning game. And I don't think he's been a Heisman Trophy winning quarterback. He's been very good. What we're talking about with Travis Hunter and Ashton Gentry is otherworldly. And Travis Hunter has fallen down because injury.
He got hurt and he missed the second half of the K-State game.
And so everybody freaked out. And weirdly enough, his odds are now at +600.
He is going to play this week, though. So it was just like a bruised situation. He'll be back. Yes, but there have been no Heisman Trophy quarterback performances. There's been one person all year, I think, who's been performing like a Heisman Trophy winner, and then you have Travis Hunter, who's doing something that we've never seen before, right? Because if Travis Hunter just plays cornerback, cool. Like, he's a good cornerback. If he just plays wide receiver, cool. He's a good wide receiver. If he just played wide receiver, he's not a Heisman Trophy wide receiver. But when you do both, that puts you in the conversation. The only guy who's putting up true Heisman Trophy winning numbers is Ashton Gentry.
Yes.
And he's doing it against legit competition. And it's not like, look, the Boise State offensive line, that's a good O-line. And for a...
It's not Georgia.
But for a group of five, now a group of six conference, Boise State puts out a lot of really, really good offensive linemen that play on Sundays.
Sure.
If you're an offensive lineman and you're not getting the power forward love from this area, most of those guys find their way to Boise
State. They find their way there, yeah.
Right. That's where I wanted to go. Mm-hmm. I want to play on the Smurf turf. So I get it. But Genty is running through contact, mm-hmm. and he's making people miss. I want to say right now, if you go into the Mountain West, Ashton Genty is the number one rusher, mm-hmm. obviously.
Yes.
The number two rusher is Ashton Genty after contact.
I believe actually last week or the week before.
The Utah guy finally passed, Utah State guy finally passed.
No, I say he led the nation in rushing after contact.
Like, that's insane. That's
the insane thing.
It's what, like, he's doing.
Yeah. It's not, this isn't video game, this isn't LaMichael James, Kenyon Barner, you know, get out in space, Oregon, breaking 60 yarders in
where
space.
Where no one's touching him.
Yeah, this is, let me wait, delay behind the offensive line, break two tackles,
mm-hmm.
break through to the second level, break another tackle, and take 20. Well, and that's my normal carry, because he's averaging almost 10, just under 10 yards a carry.
And he was averaging over for a long time, mm-hmm. and he's going to go against a lot of rush defenses that are in the 100s when it comes mm-hmm. to stopping the run. What he's doing, and most of the time, the concepts that they're running are either zone concepts or duo concepts. So he's doing a lot of this in between the tackles. He's just getting the linebackers to deliver themselves to offensive linemen and then making his cut off of that. Like, you look at the Oregon game, I want to say that he had 20 to 24 rushes in that game. You take away his three or four explosives, Oregon actually held him to like 3.5 yards per carry. The problem is you can't take away his explosives, and he had a monster game against one of the better defenses in the country. I don't think Oregon's defense is the best, but I do think it's upper echelon, especially what they're doing on that defensive line behind Derek Harmon. And in that game, Jordan Burch was healthy, and Burch was playing absolutely nails. So what he's doing to me is the only true Heisman performance so far this year. And that's why I think you see Dylan Gabriel rise in the rankings. It was the same thing with Milrow. Jalen Milrow against Georgia played amazing. He played like a Heisman Trophy winner in the first half. And then in the second half, he played like Jalen Milrow. Yeah, he wasn't great, but he made a big-time throw in a big-time moment when you needed it most, right? So I just think that Gabriel's rise and Milrow's rise is you just played a big game, you didn't make a big mistake, you were better than you've been this year, and no one else has really run away with it aside from a kid in the Mountain West. So you get to go up in the Heisman rankings.
I don't buy, and this isn't Dylan Gabriel anti-Oregon stuff. I don't think there's been a quarterback that's been worthy of being on the same line. Because right now it's plus 230, plus 260. You're basically saying they have essentially the same odds between Genty and Gabriel. And I just, Gabriel has not, look, the bar for college quarterback has been raised so high.
Mm-hmm.
The Heisman Trophy needs to go back to being the best player in college football.
I'd agree with that.
Dylan Gabriel is not the best player in college football.
I
would imagine that there are probably 15 to 20 players better than Dylan Gabriel in college football. And that's totally fine. And again, that's not a shot at him. He's very good.
He's very good. Yeah, I might make the argument he's not the most valuable player on that team.
Again, that's my point. And it's not taking a shot at him.
No, very good. It's very good.
The Heisman Trophy has become this quarterback award. And it's like, there's been so many years in Ndamukong Suh. You just kind of go back and you look at, like, the number of times when the Heisman Trophy, like, it, when it went to Reggie Bush,
he was the best player in college football.
When it went to Tim Tebow, the best player in college football. When it went to Charles Woodson, it was the best player in college football. The reason you see it, like the Nissan Heisman House,
right,
that commercial, look at the guys that are in that commercial. More often than not, the guys they have in that commercial are the guys that when they won Heisman, like, think about the number of Heismans in the past 15 years that just, like, they were great, but do you go, that was the best player in college football? Or do you say, that was the best player on the best team?
Yeah, I mean, I think probably the last one that really stands out to me in that way would probably be Lamar Jackson, just because that Louisville team was not the best. Well, yeah. Jaden Daniels. Jaden Daniels, like, and USC was in the conversation when Caleb won his, but they weren't the best team in college football.
But again, you understand what I'm saying. Like,
yes, and I get what you're saying.
The proliferation, particularly of offensive players and quarterbacks in college, I would love to see Gentry or Hunter win. Because number one, a running back, or number two, a two-way player. Because we haven't had a two-way player since Charles Woodson.
And he's more of a two-way player than even Charles Woodson.
Yes. And it's, I think like that's the thing. Is like, I want, if there's an Ndamukong Suh, if there's a Jadeveon Clowney, if there's a...
Derek Harmon.
There's a dude in the country where you go, that is the most disruptive player in the country, offensively or defensively. Like when the Randy Moss, even at Marshall, you're just like, oh, sweet Jesus, what is this? Like when, and I don't care what school they go to. And I would actually be okay if Travis Hunter, let's say, stays healthy. And that's the only time he misses that. And Colorado finishes with like 6 wins. But he keeps doing what he's been doing. I'm okay with him winning a Heisman because it's not the best player on the best team. It's supposed to be the best player in college football.
Right. I think if he keeps doing what he's doing, I actually don't think he'll win unless you get a big media swell behind him, because I think we all know who the best player in college football is. And
Right now, it's him and Genty. Everybody else is fighting for it.
I think the reason that you're going to see Gabriel on it is, like you've said, right? Best quarterback on the best team. And right now, Oregon has the best 2 wins. You have 2 wins against ranked opponents. Mm-hmm. Now, to be fair, they were both at your own house. And I'm not taking a shot at Dylan Gabriel. I think Derek Harmon is the most important player on that team.
Sure.
With what he's able to do in the middle of that defense and stop the run, but also get pressure on a quarterback. And I'm biased towards O&D linemen.
Sure.
I just am. That's the position that I played. That's a position I went against.
Look, if you get a Joe Thomas that comes out, like you get that generation of the Orlando Paces of the world.
Right.
When you get a guy, an offensive, a left tackle.
Penei Sewell.
Penei Sewell, like, it's just so unbelievably good.
Right.
I would like to see them win it.
It'll never happen. You don't get stats as an O-lineman. It'll never happen. No. And Harmon, he won't get enough stats to do that. But if you are watching Oregon defensive
film. The Ndamukong Suh season. That's the one where you go, yeah, okay.
Right. Everyone is focused on how do you slow down. I mean, that dude gets double teamed every single play and he's still murdering people. But I think the reason why you see Gabriel at what he is like you've said, best quarterback right now on the best team. And Quinn Ewers, who is probably the best quarterback on the real best team in Texas, at least what they've shown.
Look, if Quinn Ewers is healthy, had he not
he
missed time,
two games.
He's the guy I think that is the quarterback that's above everybody else.
Right. I think Gabriel is there because you also look at the schedule.
Mm-hmm.
And you go down that schedule, you still have to play Illinois. That's a ranked team.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to play Michigan, who I don't think they'll be ranked when you play them, but it's Michigan and it's on the road.
It still has that. Yeah.
You're going to play in Camp Randall at the end of November, so there's going to be snow, right? You're going to play UW in a rivalry game, which UW might not be as good as they've been in the past,
but
that's still a game that's going to matter. And then you're probably going to get Ohio State again, and if you don't, you're going to get Penn State in the championship game. So I think what they're looking at is he is going to have a bunch of nationally televised games. And if Oregon can look like they did on Saturday and run the table, or even if they have one blemish, but it's close, just like Ohio State has a blemish right now, there's a world where you can put Dylan Gabriel in as the Heisman if Ashton Genty takes a step back or something of that nature. So just kind of why I think he's where he's at.
100%. Coming up next. I did tease an insane story, and I have to get to this. Olympic snowboarder wanted for cocaine distribution, but there's more. We'll come back next year on Danny and Dusty, Danny the Fan.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Allo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Time you walk by, your back get a chip. This is not on our show prep for the doc. I was just in a break, just kind of scrolling, making sure I'm staying on top of the news of what's going on in the day. And the top of ESPN's page read, snowboarder accused of running cocaine ring. Click. Click.
What?
Click, 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 click. What the hell's going on here? You click one step into the story, Olympic snowboarder wanted for cocaine distribution, comma murder. Dog, what?
I feel like one actually should be above the other.
Like, the headline, basically they buried the lead there because, look, if you put snowboarder wanted for murder, I'd be like, all right. But I guess if you do the cocaine and snowboarder, you get to make all the powder jokes.
Like, are we sure it's not just
fresh
snow?
Powder?
Are we sure it's not just snow?
I mean, yes.
Like,
you don't actually need to use the droplets on it. You just put it in not freezing temperatures.
I'll be right back. I got to go take one more quick dump.
Right?
Is that how snow works?
No, that's how cocaine works.
Oh.
At least as far as horrible bosses told me.
No.
The FBI is currently offering a $50,000 reward for the information leading to the arrest and extradition. See, they tag that on there. That's how they get you. It's always in the fine print. It's not just the arrest. It's the extradition. Getting him out of a country. For Ryan James Wedding, a Canadian citizen who was living in Mexico and is considered a fugitive. He's 43 years old. He is wanted in the U.S. charged with running a criminal enterprise, murder, conspiring to distribute cocaine and other crimes, U.S. prosecutors said. He is one of 16 people charged in connection with a ring that moved 60 tons of cocaine via long-haul semi-trucks.
Oh my goodness. They seized
120,000 pounds of cocaine.
They seized cocaine, weapons, ammunition, cash, and more than $3 million in cryptocurrency.
Authorities allege that the group killed two members of a family in Canada in retaliation for a stolen drug shipment, in which officials say there was a case of mistaken identity and at least one other person.
Already been in jail for cocaine distribution.
Also, they call this guy an Olympic snowboarder. He competed for Canada, number one, in 2002. The statute of limitation on Olympic participant? Come on. Look, Olympic medalist?
Does 2002 not count as the Olympics?
No, I'm just saying.
Are we not start calling, like, Mark Spitz an Olympian?
Look,
he's an Olympic swimmer.
The man finished 24th in the parallel giant slalom.
Hey, he's still an Olympian.
Come on.
Yeah, that counts. He went.
I do that. That's going to be on my business cards.
Oh, yeah. I know. But that counts.
This is selling it like Sean White went out and look. And again, Sean White, great name for a cocaine distributor.
Yeah.
Also great name for a snowboarder.
Right.
To be fair.
The Flying Tomato. It'd be funny if like he...
That
like,
is a tremendous nickname, too.
Right? And if he went like full... Super Troopers, instead of the Johnny Chimpo, they went little tomato stamp on their drugs.
I missed out on Super Troopers.
How? Snozberries taste like snozberries?
How has someone your age not seen Super Troopers?
You need to see Super Troopers.
That's not what I'm going to fight you on. That's on the list. That's one I should have seen. That's a miss. Look, sometimes I miss.
Long story short, they had drugs bundled, and they had a stamp of a cartoon monkey where a banana was also his
his tail.
He was again
yes
Johnny Chimpo, and he was in Afghanistan animation.
The only part of that I've seen is when they pull the guys over at the very start and the guy eats everything and then starts freaking out.
The snozberries taste like snozberries. And much like our snowboarder here, he went to Mexico.
We're already pulled over. We can't pull over any further.
We can't pull over any further. You boys like Mexico? Turns out the snowboarder does. Why is the snowboarder going to Mexico? Why not go to like some place where you can snowboard?
You can snowboard in Mexico, I'm sure. There's got to be a mountain that has snow.
Look,
if they can make snow in California.
Yeah, but you're getting down pretty tropical down
there. Yeah, I don't.
I also think that right now the first thing on his mind isn't snowboarding.
I mean.
Possibly.
Snowboarding is life, bro.
I think he's got his life doing something else. And I feel like that is a prime location for him.
Popocatépetl, Mexico's second highest mountain. It's an active volcano known for its glaciers.
Yeah. Look, dude, sometimes the way a business succeeds is being in the right location. And I feel like he might be in the right location.
Mexico's best ski resorts with 2.1 out of 5 stars. It has the highest rating in Mexico.
2.1? I'm going to go to Mexico.
This is a lot like going to Iceland for the beaches. Like, among scales for beaches, Iceland beaches ranked 1.8 out of 10.
2.1 out of... I want to know the person who went on Yelp and was like, this mountain sucks.
I mean, again, tropical.
Going to go to Mexico.
Getting awful close to the equator.
But I'm going to snowboard.
This guy hasn't been caught, but if you have information, you can go get $50,000. You're not getting 60 tons worth of cocaine, but, you know, 50 large.
Go get the notorious RJW.
Mm. Yeah, it's not working.
We'll find something else that we can wed him with a nickname.
All right, coming next, I'm an idiot, and I forgot to do our picks. So we're going to do our picks here at 2:30. Come in. But first, here's a Big Kahuna with Sports Center Update.
You ever had a Big Kahuna burger?
See it all as on time, as always, it's Thursday, 2-ish. It's time to dive into our NFL picks.
It's 2:00.
The hour still exists.
It's 2:00 somewhere.
It's 2:00 somewhere. We've got Dusty's picks, so let's dive into our picks for this week. Our Stone Cold Lead Pipe Locks. We all did okay last week, and we're actually all one. we're all just sandwiched in with each other here. Jeff Rust pulling up a tight rear at 14-9-1.
Ooh, I'm noticed.
Ooh, a little work you put in.
If I don't watch my girlish figure, who will?
Puckering up a little bit more, 15-8-1. There I am. Dusty here, a knot and kissing sisters, 16-8-0. No ties yet for him.
Wow, we're all doing pretty good.
Yeah, I need to start stealing your guys' picks.
I mean, we're all three of us are doing good.
Yeah.
I mean, look, you're shooting for 51%. Anything over that, you're doing great. As long as you're making gotta get your units right. All right, I'll go first here.
Always got to handle your units correctly.
Handle
Never
multiple
mishandle
units.
Never mishandle a unit.
Yeah, absolutely not. I'm going to go ahead and start us off with the road dog. Lions plus 1.5 of the Vikings. Look, man, I know the Lions are going to be a little shocked. The loss of Aiden Hutchinson, they're going to be on the road. That Lions team is a wagon. And I think they're going to get the bump, the unification bump of losing Aiden Hutchinson, the come-together bump that kind of comes when those situations happen. I think Dan Campbell's going to do the best he can against this Vikings team. And look, this is the game. These are the games that matter for these two teams. This division is an absolute monster, and this is where you need to find a way to separate.
Well, this is actually where we get into a lock fight, because I actually have the Minnesota Vikings at minus 1.5. Here's my reasoning for it, and you mentioned it. Aiden Hutchinson is out. That means that Detroit defense, they are losing half of their sack production. I think that this Vikings offensive line, they're going to keep Sam Darnold upright, and he's going to pick apart this secondary for the Lions that has been suspect at best. They've been hidden behind Aiden Hutchinson's greatness. So I'm going to go with the Vikings minus 1.5.
This line is kind of big, but I feel like this could be a good get-right game for Buffalo. They're hosting the Titans minus 9.5. I'll go ahead and do that.
Yeesh. That's a big one.
That's a big one.
Look, those big lines haven't fared well.
Get Amari Cooper.
You got to get the underdogs in those big lines have done well, but Tennessee has gacked away more than a few games.
Yes.
Dusty's first pick, Broncos at Saints over 37. I took the stinky line of the week last week with the 35.5 featuring the Broncos. They're getting another 1.5 here. Broncos Chargers or Broncos Saints. I don't know which one I'd like less, but I stayed away from this one, so I think I like this one less. My second pick, I'm taking Bengals minus 5.5 at the Browns. Speaking of unplugging toilets, the Browns, I don't think you can cut that turd any bit. If you tried, it's bad. It's awful. It's a terrible quarterback. Nick Chubb is not going to do enough. Joe Burrow is going to find a way. Give me the Bengals minus 5.5 at the Browns.
I've got the Texans plus 2.5 against the Packers, going with another road dog. Going with the Texans because I think that they are going to be able to scheme up some blitzes. Will Anderson absolutely exploded. Now, I understand that Patriots' offensive line is rough. I think Anderson's going to be able to get after Jordan Love. I know that the Texans need to keep winning if they want to keep pace with the Ravens, if they want to keep pace with Buffalo, and especially if they want to keep pace with Kansas City. They need to come out and win this game. I think at worst, this is a one-point game. If they lose, that still gets us our cover.
I'm right there with you. I got this game at plus three, but I'll go ahead and swipe your 2.5.
2.5's good.
Yeah, 2.5's good. Look, yes, the Packers have looked pretty good, but and the Houston Texans are humming.
Yeah, they are. They're a wagon. Yeah. And again, the NFC North games this weekend, this is where you kind of look at it and go, okay, here's where the separation comes, because they're all playing, man. And it's one of those situations where, well, the Bears are off, but they come back and play next week against the Commanders and Jake Daniels. So this you got to keep pace right now. Dusty, second game, he took the Colts minus 3 over Miami. I took a look at this one, but you've got Joe Flacco against the corpse of whatever quarterback the Dolphins are going to run out there. And games like this, there's just no consistency. I know, get what he's going for. Colts lying on the corpse that they know in Joe Flacco. Not a bad way to go. I'm going to go for my third pick. I'm taking the Falcons minus 3 at home against the Seahawks. Look, the Seahawks, they played 3 games in 10 days. They get the extended break after the Thursday night. You make the cross-country trip. Falcons have got some weapons. Seahawks aren't healthy. They need this game to keep pace in the NFC West.
I just don't
see it happen. So give me the Falcons and the points.
I've got the Ravens minus 3.5 against the Bucs. This one's pretty simple for me. This doesn't feel like a game that the Bucs win. I feel like the Ravens are a tier above Tampa Bay. And what does Baker Mayfield like to do? He likes to throw the ball to the other team. He's had a lot of interceptions
this
year.
Baker, touchdown maker, also interception maker.
Look at the Ravens as well. A lot of people are going to go and point to the stats of that defense. It's not as good of a defense as they had last year because they lost McDonald. That being said, the quarterbacks that they've gone against, it's Josh Allen, it's Stroud, it's Mahomes. Your only weak one that you've gone against is Gardner Minshew. I think that this Ravens defense is better than everyone thinks. And then I also think that Derrick Henry and Lamar Jackson run wild on Tampa Bay, and they cover and they win this game by a touchdown, maybe more.
I'm going to go to our nation's capital, the Commies hosting hosting the Carolina Panthers.
They're doo-doo also.
Yeah, they certainly are.
Yes, that line's just a little too big for me. I want it to go.
I don't care. I'm taking it. Carolina's so bad.
They are. They're terrible.
And Jane Daniels has looked fantastic.
I think I've picked against Carolina almost every single week, and I've won every single week.
Yeah.
But the second it got over 7.5, I went,
I get it.
Anything over 7.5 this year just hasn't done well. And now that I say that, you're going to get back-to-back big spreads that are going to work for you. Dusty's third pick, he went Eagles minus 3 over the Giants. I like the pick because not because I like the Eagles, but because the Giants suck. So it's pretty simple. And with that, my fourth pick is the Eagles minus 3 at the Giants for the aforementioned reason of the Giants sucking. The Eagles are a trash can. I continue to say this. I very genuinely believe and have said this since the beginning of the season. The Commanders are the best team in that division. The Eagles are here's the thing. The Eagles, even if they win, they still might fire Sirianni.
Yeah,
and they are just a dumpster fire, but their dumpster fire is less. It's more just tire fire than the dumpster fire that is the Giants, which is more like kitchen debris. It can be a little stinky.
Yeah, I'm going to go. I just want to check one more line. I'm going to go to the last Monday night game. I have the Chargers minus 2 against the Cardinals. This is simple. It feels like when the Cardinals aren't on offensively, it's quick 3 and out. What does Jim Harbaugh like to do? He likes to run the football, maintain, and then he's got Herbert starting to find wide open wide receivers. I know they have some injury issues. I think that the Chargers and Harbaugh are going to be able to get this done. They're going to be able to confuse Kyler Murray and slow down that Cardinal offense. They're going to get the win and the cover.
For my last pick, I'm going to jolly old London town where the Jaguars are playing the Patriots. Look, the Jaguars,
they're doo-doo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Drake May came out last week, 3-3 touchdowns. The Patriots are 5.5-point dogs. I can't see Jacksonville beating anybody by 6 points at this stretch. So I'm going to take the Patriots plus 5.5.
Ooh, riding that Drake May train, huh?
Yeah.
All aboard that May train. Mayday.
Be white knuckling.
Good luck
with that
Sally Fields tale. Dusty's also trailing the Bengals minus 5.5 at the Browns line. This feels like the Vegas sucker line of the week, but the Vegas sucker line of the week has landed every single week for us. So I'm going to keep going. As long as the Vegas is going to chum that water, mm-hmm. I'm going to hit that line. It's that simple.
Not bad there. Last one, I'm going to go. I have San Fran minus 1.5. I'm trying to check if that line has moved. Is that still there? Ooh, excuse me. I actually got it at minus 1. They're taking on the Chiefs. I feel like San Francisco is right. I know Kansas City's coming off a bye, and for whatever reason, the last 4 or 5 years, they've just found a way to win games no matter what. Like, they don't care about covering. They just find ways to win, and with such a small spread, they should be able to cover, you would think. I just think San Francisco is finally back. They're not fully healthy, but they're mostly healthy. And especially on that offensive side, they're going to get it done.
There you go, ladies and gentlemen. Our picks for this week, the Stone Cold Lead Pipe Locks. When we come back, we know who is going to be calling our Christmas Day games on Netflix.
Oh, boy.
It's going to be a family affair. We'll get to that here on Danny and Dusty, Tenny the Fan. Andrew Marchand of The Athletic has some, I guess it's technically breaking news. He's been able to discover who Netflix's Christmas Day NFL doubleheader broadcast crews are going to be.
It's not me.
It's not. It's none of us here.
Unfortunately.
I was not, I didn't have the option.
They didn't accept my handwritten note. They did not appreciate it.
But the play-by-play broadcasters for the doubleheader will be the father and son duo of Ian and Noah Eagle. Noah Eagle, of course, of 1080 The Fan fame.
He was?
Yes, that's why he's famous.
Yeah, he was on with us last week.
We had him last week.
When did he work here?
No, he just made an appearance here.
So he's only like a year older than me.
He's 27, isn't he?
And dang it, we're the same age.
Super successful.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's going to be the voice of NBC.
Picked himself up by his bootstraps.
Yeah, I mean, look, nepotism, it matters.
No, he's really good.
But he's also very good.
I want that clear. He is very, yes. Very, very good.
Ian Eagle will be joined by Nate Burleson and Greg Olson, while Noah Eagle, I'm sorry, I had it backwards. Olson will be joined by
Ian?
Noah Eagle.
No.
JJ will be joining Burleson and Ian, calling his brother TJ Watt's game.
Ooh.
So you've got double family affair. Double JJ family. On TJ and Noah on Ian. Hot family action.
I'll tell you what, I actually am.
And there's not a dryer involved.
I'm really intrigued with Noah and Olsen. Like, Noah is a very good play-by-play man, and Olsen
is great.
He might be the best color guy going. Right,
I think
now.
It is. I think he is.
Like, the fact that he's on the two with Fox is brutal, especially after all
third,
the...
Third leg Greg knows what's up.
7-4 crew.
But there's kind of a weird situation here. For those that don't know, the Christmas Day games are going to be carried by Netflix.
Yeah.
Which is kind of a
You'll get them in the mail like a couple days after.
Yeah, you can get DVD games.
It'll be great.
But basically, they are going to support everything around it and then pay those announcers out of pocket because they have contracts with NBC and CBS and Fox. So, and obviously Noah is part of the Big Ten, which has NBC and some other
NBC,
ties. So,
Peacock.
Yeah, and it's very weird. Like, I'm surprised that the other companies let these announcers out to do these games, but apparently they're paying a metric crap ton of money for them, so they're gonna do it.
Right. Well, I also think it's a smart move by Netflix. If you're, like, obviously they were able to make it work because remember back in the day when TBS would do nothing and then all of a sudden they just had playoff baseball and you'd have guys that hadn't called baseball games all year. Like, you need to have that practice. Well, Netflix, if they just hired a couple people, they're not going to have the practice built up. So why not overpay a little bit? Because, you know, everyone's going to be watching because everyone's going to care and want to tune in to these football games. Overpay a little bit because I think you're going to make it up on the back end. And now you get some really interesting broadcast crews.
I think that you're kind of assembling some guys that have some reps together, but Netflix is paying $75 million a piece for each game, just the broadcast rights.
Oh,
yeah, so nice little $150 million for Christmas alone.
How much are they going to make on that, though? Like, will we ever get the true numbers? If they're willing to pay 75...
We will, because that's wherever this stuff goes.
Right.
Because, again, this is Netflix's first foray into live content as far as sports is concerned.
Football.
Yes.
Well, because remember, didn't they have one of the stupid Jake Paul fights?
Yeah, I guess...
I think they're going to get the
technically,
Tyson one,
yes,
too.
Yes, technically, I guess that is a live sporting event, but I should say the...
Yeah, this is their first, like, football one.
Foray into sports that
It's a
matter.
Live spectacle anyway. How
yes,
about that?
There you go.
Yeah.
All right, that'll do it for today's show. We appreciate you. Thank you all for joining us. I will be back tomorrow afternoon from noon to 1. Dusty will be, he is already in Indiana for the Purdue Oregon game, which after an hour of Danny and Dusty with just Danny, I will hand you off to Ducks Game Day, which will carry you through the rest of your Friday.
Fry-yay.
It'd
be great.
Well, Warner, thank you for joining us, buddy.
Thank you for having me. I always appreciate
anytime.
It.
Anytime. Up next is 4 Hours of Power from their mouths to yours, Isaac and Sook. I see.
He's running around. Sook's here around here. He'll lumber in.
So that's it. Take care. Bye.
That's very rude and it's very nasty. That is an atrocity. My bad.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.